Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott, Sean Priest, and Tim Schwartz.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. This is the technology show. If you're blind or partially sighted, you can come along and taste the buffet of tech. With me this week, we have our guests, as always. Sean Priest is back.
Hello, Stephen. Have you missed me?
No.
Thank you.
Tim Schwartz is also here. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. It's always food with you, and welcome back, Sean.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, it is always food with me, because, you know, I'm a foodie kind of guy. You know, we should do a cookery show. We should do a tech cook show. How good would that be? Let's all get in the kitchen. Actually, do you know what? Now I think about it, that's the worst idea ever.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
You cook it, and I'll just show up and eat it. How about that?
Right, this week, lots to talk about, as always. We are really pleased to tell you that the Echo Spot, the Amazon Echo Spot, which is the kind of alarm clock of the Amazon Echo world. I don't know if that's what you would even class it as, but it just looks like an alarm clock. It's being launched in the UK. In fact, it's coming out quite soon. We're going to talk about that. We've been trying to get to our new feature called Dot to Dot, which is actually a podcast in its own right. I have to say, Robin Christofferson is the guy from AbilityNet who put this together. I think we should take the credit for this podcast because, you know, if it wasn't for us and Robin coming on here and talking about his Echo skills, then this podcast would never have been given birth to. So, you know, this is our child. I just wanted to say that.
Are we just claiming that, are we? Is that
yeah,
how
claiming
this
it,
works
yeah.
now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Robin won't mind.
Anything Stephen can take credit for. Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, unlike me, so he doesn't care. And Claire Potter's back, her pick of hobby tech. That sounds quite interesting. Mm-hmm. She's joining us a little bit later for that. Plus, more of your emails. We've got the news. Oh, yes! And our jingles. People love our jingles, by the way. They're loving our jingles.
Have we got emails about our jingles?
We got emails about our jingles.
Very nice.
Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
You know, I have to say, my jingles are looking great. And here's one of them, because we start with the news.
News from the internet.
Who'd have thought that a jingle could get so much interest?
It just gets better and better.
It does.
Yeah, it does. It does. Right, so news this week. The Echo Spot is being launched. When are we? January 24th is when it will arrive. I think we need to explain what this is. So if you have heard of the Echo Show, which is essentially an Amazon Echo with a screen on it. That's fair to say, isn't it?
I think that's the perfect technical description.
Well, it is. You know, it's got some visual information that comes up. You know, for example, if you asked it what the weather forecast is going to be tomorrow, it'll show you pictures of clouds, I guess, and rain and snow, because it's in the UK, and that will pretty much all you'll ever see. But that is what comes up on the screen. Or if you asked it to play you a song, the lyrics would appear on the screen, and you can, you know, read along with them or sing along with them if you're doing that. It can also do lots of other things. You can communicate with people using video calling. You know, the drop-in feature includes video when you have the Echo Show. And that lets you talk to someone visually. So almost like a Skype or a FaceTime. So that's quite good because it's got a little camera built into it in the front, just like a phone or a tablet might. But the Echo Spot that's coming out is kind of a smaller version of that. And it's a little circular device. I must admit, it looks the kind of the cutest of the Amazon Echo range. It's quite cute.
I think it does look really nice. It's sort of slightly bigger than a dot. And a, like you say, it's like a circle with a flat edge.
Yeah, but it looks like you think of the old alarm clocks with the bells that used to sit on the top of them. It looks like that. Without the bells, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cute, as I say. It comes in black and white. One thing that Amazon have never really got into is colour, really. Everything's black and white. I don't know what I think about that, to be honest. I don't particularly care if I'm being honest about it, but
no, nor me. It's a bit like the iPhones when they first were released, weren't it?
Yeah,
it's black or white,
right.
That's your lot.
Yeah, just keeping
it
very simple.
But it does seem
yeah.
quite an interesting device. I mean, Tim, what do you think about this? I mean, this is a small version. Again, it's got the camera. Again, it's got that visual information. But one thing we have heard about is that it does have accessibility built into it, which surprises a few people.
Which I think is interesting that it is a surprise to people, because all the other Echo devices and all this line of products has, you know, simple accessibility because they are all voice activated. The Echo Show itself, even with the screen, uses a screen reader like they use in the Amazon Kindle devices, the Voice View. So I wasn't too surprised that it had accessibility. And in a way, I actually kind of like this. At first, I wasn't sure that there was a need for something like this because you've already got a Dot. So what do we need for this? But I think the point of this, or the purpose of this, is to be portable, so to be almost like an Echo on the go. Also being that alarm clock feature, so it's not just a hockey puck sitting on your desk or your nightstand. It'll be a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more appropriate as an alarm clock looking device, perhaps. But I could see this as something that I could take on the go, take to a hotel or on vacation or something like that.
I think I might be getting echoed out.
Nah.
No.
I'm not entirely sure. I know. This is from me, the Echo lover, but...
The Echo lover.
Hashtag Echo lover.
Wow.
Look, I think the Dot is fantastic. I think the Echo is fantastic. The Spot, I really do like it. And I think it is very targeted at the bedroom alarm clock. Sort of. That's just what it looks like. The aesthetics, the design... Just seems that's what it's created for. And it seems great and it's a good idea. It'd be an amazing smart alarm clock. But the price point for me just seems to take it over the edge. I'm not entirely sure why I would want this over the Dot. The video camera, you know, like you said, Stephen, the camera in it and being able to do video calls, great. But it's a 2.5-inch screen. So if you have got any vision and you're trying to use the screen, it's a very small screen. You're not going to watch videos on it or anything like that. And the whole video calling from the bedroom is slightly creepy, and I'm not entirely sure about that. And, you know, from a security or privacy point of view, a video camera in there, slightly odd. So I think it's really nice, and I would like one, but if it was, let's say, £50, I would be, yeah, this is great. But for the current price point,
oh, which come
is what,
on.
£120? I mean, oh, here we go. Here we go.
No, but let's, I mean, let's look. Have it. This is no. Classic Sean. You know, he's not interested in the features. I mean, he loves all the features. He wants everything, but he wants it for £50. You know, come on, Amazon, drop the price. I'll buy 10 of them.
No, listen. Wait. What is the difference between this and the Dot? Why is it so much more than the Dot? Are we just talking for the screen?
Well, it's got a screen on it.
The screen and the aesthetics of it, I guess?
Well, exactly. Yeah. The design of it, camera. I can understand. So let's increase the price a little bit for that. The screen is 2.5-inch. How useful is that?
Well, I have to say that's one point I am a little bit concerned about. I haven't seen this yet, so I don't know what I'm trying to visualize what that is like. It doesn't seem very big to me. And I think how good would that be for someone like me who's got a little bit of vision who might want to use the screen? I mean, okay, I might be able to see the clock. I might be able to see the time. But would I be able to read any of the information that it puts up? Now, this goes back to my point about accessibility. It has got, so I'm told anyway, it's got Voice View software built in.
Yes.
And that will let us access the screen. So it's a touch screen. You touch the screen and it would respond if you were just, you know, using it without Voice View. But, you know, like an iPad, like an iPhone, like a touch screen computer, when you touch it and you've got a screen reader turned on, it will feed back to you audibly what you're looking at. Now, I think this is one of those things that comes back to that topic we've touched before, which is accessibility versus usability.
Yeah.
Yes, it's great, it's got accessibility in it, but how do we actually use it every day? What are we doing with it? Is it something that we can use functionally? And, you know, I have to say to him, Sean's got a point. You know, what's the difference for us, at least? What's the point in having this over just an Echo Dot?
The only thing that I can think of here is that, of course, that screen's going to be used to show the time. So it will obviously act as a regular clock. Maybe it'll have weather information, things like that. Maybe you can get notifications on it. If it was to do things similar to, say, an Apple Watch, So you could use, if you had some vision, you could look over and see news notifications, weather notifications, messages through using the communications features of Echo. And those flashed up on the screen for somebody who had vision. I could see that being semi-useful for just reading little bits of text like you would on an Apple Watch, using voice view with it if we could reach over and flick, you know, left or right to hear those notifications as they come through. I could see that. But then again, if it's going to do that, why wouldn't you just have Alexa reading those things anyway? So I don't know if it's going to be an either or, both, if that's even an option. That would be the only thing I could really see a screen being usable for, because I agree. I really don't feel there's any reason or want, in my opinion, for the video camera to talk to people. I don't see that as being something that I'm going to use. But if it was to display notifications and things like that, like I talked about, that could be useful. But I have other things that do that. So again, an extra 20 pounds or so over the dot. I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it until we really can get our hands on it and see.
Well, I mean, yes, more than that, because it's 120
or 120
pounds.
I meant 120.
And you look at what, 50 pounds? What is the dot these days?
About 30, isn't it?
50?
Yeah, 30, it hovers around the 50, 45 pound mark, doesn't it?
See, I always buy mine from secondhand stores because, you know, I don't care if it's been used as a football.
Yeah, I got mine on sale, so
I don't really care what mine's is like. If it's been kicked around the place like a football, then that's fine. I don't mind. As long as it works.
Because it will be when you get your hands on it.
Yes,
anyway,
exactly.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah. I think it does come down to, I'm not entirely sure of the usefulness of a screen on a device like this. It, you know, when the Echo Show was announced, I was slightly... Yeah, I'm not sure. And I haven't been convinced yet that it is worth the extra money for that, for the screen and for what the information that it shows, especially now that YouTube is no longer part of Amazon because of the squabble they're having. I mean, hopefully that'll be resolved. But without YouTube, you know, it does take a lot of the usefulness away from a screen on a device like this.
And I think that's something that's inevitable to work its way out eventually. I have to believe it will, because unless Amazon's got their own YouTube type service in the pipeline somewhere, which I doubt, although I know you never know with Amazon.
No.
I just can't see them fighting over this too long. Even Apple eventually was able to get their products back into Amazon's store, when they resolved some of their issues. And now we have Amazon Prime Video showing up on Apple TV. So if those two can resolve their differences, I think Amazon and Google can. But because you're right, this is something that should be on the Echo Show. There's no reason why it shouldn't be in it. And it's a proper use for something like that. So, the show, I can understand a little bit more. The spot, I'm not sure yet.
Okay, well, tell us your thoughts. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. A couple of other stories in the news from the internet. Mobile World Congress is coming up soon. Apparently Nokia is going to be launching its own smart home device. It's getting difficult to keep track of all these different companies bringing out their own versions of this. I mean, I know that no company's going to ever turn around and say, well, we'll just let Amazon get all the money for it, or Google get all the money for it. But, you know, you do think there's a point that comes where there can just be a bit too much in the way of choice, and that surely some of these will fall. I can't imagine that. I don't know what Nokia's going to bring out. They haven't announced anything. They've just given a bit of a hint that they will be bringing a smart device, possibly a new phone. What are we thinking about Nokia these days? I mean, Nokia was once the ruler of mobile phones in this country. I mean, everybody had a Nokia phone. Even blind people loved Nokia phones.
The talk software, looking for the whatever it was, N97, and trying to find a model that worked. Nokia was fantastic. It made really good hardware, and still does. It is strange that it got knocked off. Well, I suppose everything did when Apple brought the iPhone, but it got knocked off the top spot. But it still makes great hardware, so I would be interested in this. The thing with a voice assistant or a home product like this is that it needs the back end. It doesn't matter about the hardware so much. It's a microphone, maybe a screen and a speaker. That's it. Anyone can do that. But it's the software, the AI behind it. You need a lot of power for that. Can Nokia do that? Are they farming it out to something like Amazon? I mean, I don't know. But that's where the key is. You need the software behind it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think that Nokia is going to have any problems creating the software. Speakers, on average, nowadays are so good, and even screens, and the technology is there for the hardware to be just fine, I think. I don't think there'll be any issue there. But you're right, Sean. It all comes down to the back end and how are they going to make their service, their actual assistant, compete with something like Alexa, like OK Google, like all these other things.
Do you want to trigger any more off there, Tim?
I'm triggering them all, I know. So what else can I say? Sorry, everybody. But yeah, I mean, and like we've hinted at, I mean, Apple's still going to be getting to this soon. You know, Microsoft is looking at it. Roku's looking at it. You know, all these different companies that are looking at getting into this space. Why not Nokia? Sure. You know, they, like you said, they make good hardware. If they can make the assistant be up to snuff with everything else, it'll be interesting to see because they are a good company. They do make good products and they have had a history of making good products. So, yeah, I'm eager to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I think there's probably a lot of people out there that think Nokia's finished. It's all about the iPhone. It's about the Android. Or I say Android. I mean, you know, I guess it's all one now. But, you know, it's all about LG or it's all about Samsung. And, you know, there are other companies out there. I have to say Nokia, one thing that's really stood out with me with Nokia is the cameras on their phones. Samsung as well. I think LG do some really good cameras, and Sony Xperia phones generally have excellent cameras in them as well, which, you know, I have to say are much better than the iPhone.
Ooh, dear. It.
But they are. Wow. I mean, the iPhone camera's okay. I'll be honest, it's okay. But I guess one thing I will say about that, just a brief point about that, just to quantify it, I think if I had an iPhone 10, which I don't, then I might think the camera's better because it's showing up on an OLED screen. When you're looking at phones with OLED screens, the picture always does look more vibrant. So maybe that's what it is, rather than the phone or the camera itself.
Yeah.
Okay, just another point. Google Home or Chromecast might be ruining your Wi-Fi. apparently there's an issue, and I'm sure it will be something that will be updated soon. But if you have a Google Home or you have a Chromecast at home you've been using, and you've noticed your Wi-Fi being a bit odd, maybe you're slowing down or it's maybe crashing it, you feel that you can't get online, it might not be your provider for once. It might actually be the device, Google Home or Chromecast. So keep an ear out for updates. We'll tell you more about it on the program. And Firefox have issued some new updates. I was quite excited by this when I read it. I thought, oh, good, Firefox, new updates. Does any of them involve working with JAWS or a screen reader? No. So, I'm talking no more about Firefox, that's that. So, there you go, that is your news from the internet today. We're going to switch over now to the Kindle Fire, which I have to tell you guys, I have been getting back into. I kind of put it back in the drawer for a while. I think you did the same, Sean.
I have. I haven't touched it, I must admit.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful. Have you got one, Tim?
I do have one. I had purchased one for my wife, and then she wanted the upgrade, so I got the old one, of course. And same thing. I used it for a little while and learned Voice View, and then just shoved it in the drawer. I just can't.
Why is that?
I think we live in a bubble, because I think there's people out there who would think this is a great choice. If you were looking for a tablet for someone, and you know, if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I've got a friend or relative who would like a tablet, but maybe an iPad's a step too far because it's a lot of money, and you know, it's a lot of money to put out on something that you think, well, okay, it has got accessibility in it, but will it be used? This is a really good tablet. You're talking just under 100 quid in some cases.
Absolutely.
Again, there's usually offers on.
Yeah.
You know, around Christmas time, around certain holiday periods or whatever, you can get some deals on it. So it's worth considering, and it has got accessibility. I'm going to run through for you guys a bit of a run-through of how VoiceView actually works, because I think people might be avoiding it because they just don't know how to use it. And I'm also going to add into the mix some new features that were just added last week. Okay, so I was really excited when I had my Amazon Fire tablet because I learned it had VoiceView on it, which is a screen reader. And that's great news, but I have to say, after a few months of playing with it, I wasn't overly impressed. However, they've added some improvements and some new gestures, which I think might make this a proper contender for anyone out there who's blind or partially sighted who might be thinking, I want myself a tablet that's accessible to me and doesn't cost the earth. Well, this might be the one. Right, let's turn on the device. And first things first, I'm going to make sure it's laid out in front of me properly. It's sitting here long ways in front of me, which means that at the very top of the device, I should be feeling, on the very top in front, I should be feeling the power button on the right-hand side. Then a micro USB port. where I plug in the power. Then feeling along to the left, I should feel the volume buttons, and then a headphone port. And that should be at the top of the device in front of me. That means I know it's in position. The great thing about VoiceView is you can switch it on without any sighted assistance. I love that. Now, to do that, I have to make sure that the device is off, and I'm going to switch it on once with the power button, so just one press till it comes on. You won't hear anything, though, but you have to put some trust into it. So press it once to turn it on, and then what I'm going to do is hold the power button down until I hear an alert, and then place two fingers slightly apart on the screen and hold for 5 seconds. Okay, so hold the power button down till we hear an alert. Two fingers on the screen slightly apart for 5 seconds.
Keep holding down two fingers to enable a voice view. Voice view enabled. Voice view ready. Stephen Scott, double tap to switch profile.
So there you go, that's me in. I've got voice view on. I can now use this device without any vision at all. Fantastic. Now, if you do this for the very first time, you'll notice that a tutorial pops up. That's fine. It's meant to do that. And that will help you learn a lot of what I'm going to talk about with VoiceView. You'll get a lot more from the tutorial than I can show you in the time I've got, but I'll show you around the basics. Now, the first thing I want to do is log into the device. Now, there is a lock button on the screen, which you can find and press. If you've got some vision, you might be able to recognize it on the screen. It's kind of at the bottom of the screen in the middle. Now, that's fine if you can see it or you've got an idea of where it might be. But if you're blind, that can be quite annoying. So there's a quicker way. Amazon have thought about this. All you do is take three fingers reasonably far apart and swipe them up on the screen, and that'll log you right in.
Device unlocked. 9 rows, 5 columns, Amazon Insider. New items, item 1 of 3.
Now you might decide that you put a passcode on there or a lock on there so that people can't just log in like that, as easy as that. That's entirely up to you. I don't do that because this is my demo machine and, you know, it wouldn't make any sense for me to go through that because then I'd tell you my password and you'd know everything about me and you could hack into my life. Right, let's talk about the screen and give you some direction on how to get around, some basic navigation. To get around the screen, it's really simple. You just swipe right and left with one finger. I mean, it's simple as that. If I swipe right...
Murder on the Orient Express, an Audible original drama, Agatha Christie, new items, item 2 of 3.
So that's a book that I've bought from Audible and I want to listen to at some point. So Murder on the Orient Express is there. If I go right one more time, I'll probably hear another book.
Fire and Fury, unabridged, Michael Wolfe, new items, item 3 of 3, 20%.
So that's telling me a couple of things. It's telling me that there's 3 items in that list. That's the last one. It's 3 of 3. It's telling me I'm 20% into that book, and it's, of course, telling me what the book is as well. It's a great book, by the way. Well worth a read. Now, navigation kind of doesn't get more complicated than that. You just swipe left, you swipe right. The way I describe it to people is it's a bit like a list. If you imagine in your head everything on the screen, forget the physical placement of anything. If you're partially sighted, you'll tend to look. I know I do this. I tend to look at things and where things are. But actually, if you kind of try to forget that and imagine that what you've got in front of you is a big list of items, and your job is to get through that list by swiping right and left, that's essentially it. That's all these devices are. It's a one big list that you're working through. So if I swipe right, I'll start working through the apps in a list.
Silk Browser, App Store, Video, Books, Music, Audible.
And every time you hear that click sound, that is me moving my finger along the screen. It's moving it to the next thing. Now, to activate an item, which means open it up, say, you have to place focus on it. And that means you just have to find what it is you're looking for. So let's open up that Silk Browser, which is the Amazon version of, say, Google Chrome or Firefox or Internet Explorer kind of thing. I'll swipe left to find it.
Music, Books, Video, App Store, Silk Browser, Row 1, Column 1.
Okay, so I found it. I'm going to activate it by double tapping. And you don't have to worry about where you are on the screen. Just make sure you're fairly central on the screen. I use my thumb and my pinky so that I know I'm on the device. And then I just kind of use my middle finger to double tap.
Address bar, edit. www.talkingspapers.org. /naservice/rss_catalog.jsp, RNIB newsagent, audio download service, web view.
So there you go. What that's telling you is the last website I browsed onto was the RNIB newsagent, which is obviously where I was getting my newspapers from. Now, again, I'm going to want to find what's on this web page, so I'm going to use my finger to sort of scroll over the screen, and everything my finger touches, VoiceView will read back to me. And it's then at that point I can decide, do I want to scroll through this with my finger, or do I just want to swipe left and right on the list?
Sat HTTP /www.http feed graph TV programs England list space feed graphic.
Okay, so what I found there was that the website I was on wasn't really giving me a lot of audible feedback when I scrolled with my finger, just holding my finger on the screen and pulling down. Actually, what I was better to do was once I was on the screen, once I knew that I was on the web page, then just swipe left and right. Now, it doesn't have to be on the web page. It doesn't matter where your finger is. Just start swiping left and right. That's the best advice I can give you. Never worry about that, because what it will do is very quickly in your head, you'll start to see where you are, if that makes sense. You'll start to realize, oh yeah, I'm on a website here. If it's a website you've been to often, then you'll probably be quite familiar with where you are very quickly. Now, one of the most useful tools in all of the gestures I use is one called Read All. One of the things you do not want to do when you're reading a book is swipe right to get to the next paragraph, and then swipe right to get to the next paragraph. You just want it to read continuously to you. And that is what Read All is about. To enable it, all you do is take two fingers and swipe down on the screen.
TV programs regional variations. Link, space, feed, graphic, HTTP. /www.talkingspapers.org/naservice/rss_publication.jsp.
Now, I'll stop that website there, otherwise we'll be hearing it until tomorrow, probably. But what's interesting is you probably heard that it didn't stop. It read TV guide programs. It didn't then stop and wait for me to swipe right and then say feed and then swipe right to hear the web address. It just kept reading it. Now, I stopped the speech by taking two fingers and just tapping on the screen. And that's a really useful tool. It acts as a stop, so it will just stop reading from that point on. Now, from there, you can swipe right, and that will continue reading until the end of that sentence. Or again, you can use two fingers and swipe down, and that will continue reading. Now, there are a number of ways you can customize the VoiceView experience, and all you have to do in that case is go into the settings. Now, some of you might never want to go near the settings. I get that. I'm not going to go through them all in detail at all because it would take too long, and it might be something we come back to on a separate episode. But I think for now what I'd like to do is show you at least where the settings menu is so you can go and investigate and have a muck around if you choose to. Really simple. You take your fingers from the top of the device. So if you imagine, put them right at the very top of the screen. Not even on the screen, but above the screen at the edge of the device. And then swipe down. Three fingers, swipe down. And that will open up the quick menu.
14:12, Sunday the 21st of January. Stevens Fire 8 HD. Quick settings.
So I'm in quick settings. Now I'm in quick settings. Again, think of it like a list. I can swipe right to get to the voice view, tap for settings button, or I could just scroll down with a finger. Let's try that from the top.
40. Display aeroplane mode. Help. Voice view. Tap for settings. 1400 hours.
And that was me just taking my finger and pulling it over the screen till I got to that settings menu. Again, to activate that, you would double tap.
Voice view screen reader. Go to text-to-speech, 9 of 10.
And there are lots of different settings available in there. There's reading speed, which lets you adjust the speed of the voice view voice. You might find it's too slow or not slow enough. There's speech volume, which means you can set the volume level for voice view speech. And you can select match device volume, which means that it will use the same volume as everything else. There's sounds volume. You can set the volume level for feedback tones. Or it can, again, match device volume to make sure it uses the same volume as other media. You can change key echo, which determines what is being echoed back to you while entering text. By default, characters are echoed, so when you type A, B, C, D, it will read back to you A, B, C, D, but you can change that to none, characters, words, or both characters and words, like any other screen reader. And there's a punctuation level you can change as well. You can control what punctuation marks are read out loud. And there's settings for Braille as well. Also in there is where you'll find the Voice View tutorial, should you want to go back to it. There are so many other gestures we could talk about. I could be here all day, and we will definitely come back to this in more detail. But I just wanted to talk you through a couple of the new gestures that were added to the Fire tablet at the end of last year. One is stopping speech by single tapping with two fingers. So two fingers, single tap on the screen, now stops speech. You can now read all from selected items by swiping down with two fingers. You can read all from a selected item by swiping down with two fingers. And you can read all from the first item by swiping up with two fingers. That's a different kind of gesture. So if you want to read from the very top of the page all the way to the bottom, you swipe up with two fingers. But if you've selected an item of the screen to go from there, so say an email, for example, you might want to swipe down with two fingers and it will read from there. You can start and stop media now by double tapping with two fingers, so you don't have to find the player pause button. You just double tap with two fingers and that will start and stop media. That's video and audio. On some supported devices, you can start or stop dictation by double tapping with two fingers while you're editing text. It's not something I've tried, but if you have, let me know how you got on with it. Now, you might not realise this, but you can make an Alexa request from your Fire tablet now as well. Now, for sighted people and for blind people to a point, you had to use the home button. But of course, holding down the home button was quite difficult with Voice View because it doesn't let you hold down buttons. So what they've done is Amazon has built a gesture for this, and it is where you double tap and hold two fingers on the screen. So two fingers, double tap and hold. Am I gorgeous?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Thanks. Now, you can also turn screen curtain on now and off by triple tapping with three fingers. Brilliant if you don't want other people to see what you're up to, or you just don't use the screen so you don't see the point in having it turned on. Triple tap, three fingers.
Screen curtain enabled. Triple tap with three fingers to disable screen curtain.
Okay, I'll do that then.
Screen curtain disabled.
You can also now jump around the screen a lot easier. You can jump to the first item on the screen by tapping on the upper half of the screen with four fingers. Or if you want to go to the last item, you tap on the lower half of the screen, again with four fingers. You can turn speech on or off if you're going into a meeting and you don't want your device to be talking, or you just generally want it to shut up. All you do is double tap with three fingers.
Speech off. Three finger double tap to turn speech on. Speech on.
And if you want to enter or exit learn mode for gesture practicing, which is always useful after listening to something like this, then all you have to do is double tap with four fingers.
Welcome to learn mode. Use a four finger double tap to exit learn mode. Try gestures to familiarize yourself with device features.
So while you go off and do that, I'm going to listen to the rest of my Fire and Fury book. Can't wait.
Thanks very much for that, Stephen. That was a really good report and a lot of interesting things that Amazon is adding into the Kindle Fire now.
Yeah, you know what I love about the Amazon thing? I got that, a lot of that information there from a blog they post called Day One. And they always refer to accessibility at the moment anyway as Day One. Now, I have to tell you, when it gets to 5 years in and they're still calling it Day One, I'll be concerned. but I get why they're calling it just now, and I think it's right to do that. They're sort of managing that expectation, to use a business term, and I think it's quite a good idea actually to think about it. We're going to move on to another feature now. We're going to start this every week because a lot of you have been asking about the different skills that exist on the Amazon Echo devices, and we thought we'd maybe kick off our feature this week with one about cooking. We mentioned cooking earlier. Well, this is one called Chef. And it's brought to us by Robin Christofferson, who, as a result of doing this feature on this program, created his own podcast called Dot to Dot.
Dot to Dot. Now connected.
Hi, it's Robin here. I am going to give you a quick demonstration of a really nice skill for the Echo called Chef, simply called Chef. And you enable it, as always, in the usual way, by asking the A lady to enable the Chef skill. And then you can ask it for conversions, for example, from if you've got a recipe that has cups of flour, for example, you can ask how much that would weigh in grams or ounces, and you can also ask it for substitutions. So I'll give you a quick demonstration of a couple of those. There's a lot that she doesn't know, but for the things that she or he knows, it can be really, really useful. So let's give it a go. Alexa, ask chef how much flour weighs.
For what ingredient would you like a weight?
Flour.
How much all-purpose flour? For example, 2.5 teaspoons, or 1 cup, or 1/3 liter.
1 cup.
Would you like the weight in grams or ounces?
Ounces.
1 cup of all-purpose flour weighs 4 3/8 ounces.
Now, I don't drink, so let's ask what a substitute for wine would be in cooking. Alexa, ask chef what I can substitute for wine.
For what volume of cooking wine are you substituting?
1 cup.
I know 3 possible substitutions for cooking wine. 1. 1 cup of chicken or beef broth. 2. 1 cup of fruit juice and 2 teaspoons of vinegar. 3. 1 cup of water.
Well, I'm a veggie as well, so I think I would go for the number 2 there. That sounds good. So hopefully that's given you a quick flavour, excuse the pun, of that skill. It's called Chef. And like all of the things that the Echo does, it can be really, really useful. And there are other areas where you'll definitely run up against its limitations. But they all add up to making the lovely Echo a really, really nice device to have around the house. Okay then, thanks. Bye.
Now disconnected.
And you can check out more of those features on Robin Christofferson's podcast, Dot to Dot. Always worth a listen. Right now it's time for Claire Potter to join us with her Potter's Picks. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. And I believe, I mean, I'm just assuming because you mentioned it last week, that you're going to be talking about hobbies this week.
I am, yeah. We're going to be talking about entertainment because... Let's think about it. As visually impaired people, yes, we do still like to enjoy entertainment now and again, or maybe very, very regularly. So I believe that there are products out there that can help us visually impaired people enjoy that entertainment.
Yeah, because, you know...
have a bit of a relaxing time.
Blind people like to have a bit of fun occasionally. There's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. Okay, I like this topic. I like where you're going with this. Right, what have you got? What's number one?
Okay, number one is... the Sonic USB media player.
Ah, now you're talking. This is my kind of language. Right, okay, carry on.
Well, it's definitely not mine. Okay, this is very portable. This is a very portable media player, which is designed for the users of R&IB talking books. But it can also be used to play music if you have that on memory sticks or... well, pretty much any audio file, really. I mean, if you want to record yourself and listen to yourself, you can do it. You know, if anybody wants to do that, fair enough. It also supports Bluetooth, this one. So it makes it a very nice Bluetooth portable speaker for your device, such as a tablet or a smartphone. So you can actually listen to your music from your iPhone if you want to do that with this very nice USB player, which is very portable and very light.
Yeah, it is. I've got one, actually, and it's really good. I like it for listening to R&IB Talking Books, which I chose to listen to on USB stick. I think it's great for that.
I used to have the big one. Yeah,
that's right.
I believe it was called the Sovereign, yes.
Yeah, that's right, the Sonic Sovereign. Yeah, that's right, Sovereign, wasn't it? Sovereign USB player. And then they brought out the small Sonic. It's lovely. It's simple operation, you know, really easy to use. It's not a complicated thing. Okay, so here's the questions. Where can you get it and how much?
Right. This one is from the R&IB online shop. It is £34.95. And the code for it, if you want it, is DH444.
Brilliant. Okay, I love it. Right, what else is on your list this week then of hobby tech?
Okay, number two is... the all-new Amazon Echo second generation. This connects to the assistant, which begins with A. We better not say it.
Can't
otherwise,
say the name,
we will
yeah.
wake her up. Well, that one. It starts with A and ends in A. And it has L-E-X-A. So you know the one I'm talking about.
I know the one you're going with. Yep, yep.
I think we all do by now. So on this one, you can play music if you want to do that. You can play games. And believe it or not, you can do workouts because it is January after all.
Yes, that's true.
It does support a lot of different skills. You can also play audiobooks, and you can also listen to the tune-in radio stations if you want to do that. And you can also listen to podcasts.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, there really is no end to this. And it's a really interesting one to bring up in Potter's Picks because we talk about it on the show and it's a great device.
So much, yeah.
Yeah, we do. And I think it's a really good device. But I think it's one of those things we don't tend to think of as a bargain. And it actually is.
Well, it is for that price especially, which I'm going to tell you in a minute, because it's actually the newer one that Amazon brought out. I believe it was late 2017. The second generation one, which is supposed to be with a better speaker and better voice recognition and just so many great other things that we just don't have enough time to talk about on Potter's Picks.
Yeah, no, there's just never enough time, is there? Okay, so tell us that price.
Usual.
Tell us that price.
Okay, so this one is $89.99 and it is available from the shop, which begins with A and ends in N, and sells everything that you can possibly think of online.
Quite literally, everything you can think of. I was looking for screws one day to mount a monitor onto an arm, and okay. I thought I'll just search for them, and yeah, lo and behold, there they were.
Brilliant.
Okay, so that's number
so
two.
So diverse.
That's number two on your list, right? So third hobby tech item. What else is there?
Okay, third hobby, if you are into your entertainment and you want to do things like that, including watching movies, you might want to consider the Fire HD tablet with the A assistant again.
Yeah.
That one. So with this one, you can enjoy social media, TV shows, music, movies. There's just no end to the sort of things that this tablet can do. It's just amazing. I don't have one. For the price that I'm going to tell you in a minute, it's a 32 gig tablet, this one. So it has so much storage and it's accessible, believe it or not.
It is. And what's really interesting about it is, you know, we talked about it earlier on the show, Claire, you know, and I mentioned about a lot of the different gestures that you can use with Voice View, which, you know, is the screen reader on there. But it's not just screen reader. You've got magnification options. You've got colour contrast options. You can do a lot of different things with the screen to make it easier. You can make the text a lot bigger on it. It's a really good device. And for reading books, if you're blind, I would never have thought about this, but buying a Kindle tablet is actually a really good way of enjoying books. Personally, I like them because I like the voice. This one is a nice, soft American female voice.
Is it Amy? Is that what they call it?
I think that might be her name. Yeah, I don't know her intimately, but she certainly she seems a lovely person. You know, I think I'd enjoy a conversation.
So friendly.
With her. She is. She's so friendly, so helpful, which is fantastic.
And of course, this one does support the A assistant, so you can access even more information than before.
Well, there you go. Can't argue with that, can you? So,
really?
Okay, how much? And I'm guessing where we can get it, but yeah, okay, how much?
Well, I'll tell you anyway, just for the sake of telling you, just because I do, just because I'm so nice. So, this one is $99.99.
Oh, just under
and
the mark.
Not really. Forget we've got the new budget.
Yeah, we've got the new budget, $150. Okay, so it's just under the £100 mark, though, which is great.
It is, yeah, and like I said, for 32 gig... you really can't go wrong. And it is, of course, from the shop which begins with A and ends in N and sells everything online.
Fantastic. Well, another brilliant selection. Can you tell us what's coming up next?
Of course I can. So after next week, nobody, hopefully, will have an excuse to not contribute to Tech Talk, because next week I will be telling you about the different ways in which you can record yourself so that you can contribute to Tech Talk.
Oh, no, I like it. I like it. That is good. That is going to be a brilliant one. Thank you for that, Claire. We look forward to speaking to you again next week on Tech Talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Right, it's time for this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Yes, it's time to look at your emails once again. Don't you just stop laughing at the jingle, right?
I think that may
cost a fortune.
That may be the best part of the entire show, the jingles.
The jingles, yes.
It kind of worries me. That's probably what only people will tune in for that and nothing. I don't care what we say. I don't think anyone does care what we say anyway, frankly. But, you know, we've made some nice jingles around it, so it's all good. Right, first to Simon Powell. Hi, Simon. Haven't heard from you in a while. Hi, Sean, Steve and Timmy says... on the 30th of November, I bought myself an iPad, and he says, I did this for two reasons. No, I think he's about to blame me. He said, firstly, Steve tried an Android phone after immersing himself in the Apple ecosystem, and so I thought, if he can do this, why can't I do the reverse? Secondly, I was becoming a bit Apple-phobic in that I was getting fed up with the arguments about which was better for the visually impaired. I was also fed up with the developers, some of whom write for Apple, others for Android, and some for both. In all honesty, I enjoy the iPad very much, but now wonder what all the fuss is about. Both Apple and Android do pretty much the same, in a similar way. They both have their strengths and weaknesses. I would encourage more visually impaired people to try each device and try new ones. He said, I've used a number of Android devices. Each of them works in a slightly different way, but I was able to say to myself, what can the iPad do and how does it do it? In other words, be open-minded about the technology. And after another of Stephen's reviews, I bought myself an Amazon Fire tablet. Oh, dear. And I can
You're say costing this guy a lot of money.
I'm costing this guy a fortune. And I'm impressed with what it can do. Finally, if I can use a device with no sight whatsoever, then it must be accessible. Do you know what? That's a really good point. That's a really good point. If he can use it and he's got no vision... then why not? Anybody could use it then on that basis. So, you know, it's what works for you. He says, Happy New Year. Keep up the great show. Thank you, Simon. Appreciate that.
That's a fantastic one, Simon. I really like that.
Yeah,
like you said,
great email,
you know,
yeah.
Just trying both sides makes all the difference. For me, I think one issue is that because the Android devices can work slightly differently, it does make it hard for people to learn. Whereas all the iOS devices work, apart from the iPhone 10 now, work pretty much the same. You know, gestures are going to work this way and that way. On Android, there could be slight differences, and that does make it difficult to get information across to people. But aside from that, I think you're right. Yeah, accessibility on both, they're all usable by us, so that's you know, it's only a bonus.
Another email in from Derek, who says, Hello there, Stephen, Sean and Tim. I'm writing to say thank you for the great work you do on Tech Talk each week. Each Tuesday, I open up Overcast, and I'm excited to see a new episode has dropped. Well, that's, of course, if we've done it right. A couple of weeks, it hasn't worked out that way. Tim and I have actually connected a few times, as we are both podcasters. Hey, Tim. I tell you,
hello.
Throwing people your way, it's lovely. And when I heard he was going to be on Tech Talk as a guest host, I knew I had to listen. Oh well, it's all thanks to you, Tim. And he says, Derek says, I've been listening ever since. Yeah, he says you guys have a great chemistry together. I often laugh and learn new things each week. I also wanted to ask where you got the new jingles for the show. I really enjoyed them. Well, Derek, we've got them from the Jingle Shop. Simple as that. And he says, please keep up the great work. I look forward to Tech Talk every week. Thank you, Derek. Lovely to hear from you, Derek, and I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, thanks, Derek, very much.
Yeah, Rebecca says, I have an Amazon Fire Stick and an Apple TV 4th generation. We waited so long for Prime Video to appear on the Apple TV. She says, I do not like how Amazon implemented accessibility in the Prime Video app and tvOS. And recommend using your iPhone or the Amazon Fire Stick. The Prime Video app for tvOS uses a different voice. You can't just swipe up and down. You have to navigate by touch only. Now, this is a really interesting point, and this is the first time I've seen this implemented in an app on Apple TV, where, you know, before, Netflix and even the BBC iPlayer in the UK, they were all kind of built on a similar standard. I was quite excited. I thought Prime Video would be the same. But like Rebecca, guys, it's not. It's a different layout, and I don't think it's great.
No, I totally agree. Why did they do it that way? What's the need? What is the technical reason why you've got to use their own... It's almost like their own screen reader.
Yeah, I didn't even know that it was possible to do something like that where they would just not use the built-in voiceover in the system and go with their own, seemingly their own voice, you know, that they're using. And the way you have to navigate and everything, yeah, it is different. It is possible. It's cumbersome, but it is possible. I mean, it's not totally unusable, but it is different. So why Amazon did this, I really don't know. It'd be interesting to see if we can get the answer to that.
Rebecca also mentions, she says, I use multiple platforms for audio-described content, including the Cero Network. She says the best resource for audio-described content is the Audio Description Project from the American Council of the Blind, which is available at acb.org/ADP. I think the only thing with that, though, is, Rebecca, you must be in the States, I imagine, and I know that that does give you a lot of information about what's audio-described out there, but some of that doesn't apply to the UK. We get different distribution here. So while it appears in the States in audio description, and it would make so much sense for it just to be the same across the world, it just doesn't always work like that. So it is a good place to start, though, because really there is nothing else like that. There's nothing that just tells you what's got AD on it. She says, the next challenge is for me to pair my Orbit Reader with the Apple TV. She says, I can't wait for the Orbit Reader 20 to make its public debut. Hey, listen, we're still waiting for any Orbit Reader, quite frankly. It's still in orbit at the moment here. She says, Happy New Year, and thanks for a great show again, as always. And love the new theme arrangement and email tune. Well, there you go. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Mark's been in touch. He says, a Happy New Year to all the Tech Talk team. He says, a few lines from a mid-50s analog man in a digital world. Make of them what you will. Thank you for a wonderful podcast. As a person new to the Apple and tech revolution, your knowledge and detail are allied to a fantastic wit, humour and insight. Your podcast is right there next to the Racing Post Weekend Tipping Podcast as top listens. Mark says, thanks to you, I have just upgraded to the iPhone SE after a year of getting used to voiceover on an old iPhone 5C. Thanks for your recommendation. Wow, much better and a real improvement. It's a cracking phone for the money, with the A9 processor putting it right up there with more expensive models. Seeing AI will be a great addition to essential apps with a little tweaking. The face recognition is a bit of a party joke, though, as my family would testify to at Christmas, he says. Potter's Picks is fantastic. Proper Northern Lass. Carry on with the great advice and humour. And he says, how about a few issues for first-time tech listeners? For example, essential apps and websites, podcasts or YouTube channels. And he says, oh yeah, one more thing you do deserve, at least more time. Another hour, please. He says, finally, for anyone learning to touch type, this fat-fingered old bloke found Kaz Typing Tutor to be a cracking way of learning. Well worth a try. Anyway, the show is a great listen. Keep it up, Mark. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate that and glad you're with us.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for a nice email. And of course, you guys are going to pick on me for this, but if you want additional content, you can always find another podcast called Life After Blindness and get more of what you're looking for right there.
Every time.
Such a plug.
All the same. Yeah, right. On a Faith. Faith has been in touch from Swansea, wishing us all a very happy new year. Hi, Faith. Following additional sight loss that I experienced in November, she says, I'm currently in the process of having to learn to use a screen reader instead of magnification. I've bought myself a new laptop in the latest version of JAWS, and I'm having some training with someone from the sensory team at Social Services, which I'm assuming will cover the basics. I would like to find some training material for JAWS to be able to continue learning how to use it effectively on my own when the sessions end. I believe there is some sort of training, but through the program itself, but I'm wondering if there are any audio tutorials available, preferably for free, that I could get online. She says, I know that NVDA has MP3 files you can buy and download and listen and teach yourself as you go along, but I'm not sure about JAWS. As screen reading is now going to be my only means of accessing information and using a computer, I want to get the best out of it. It cost a fortune, along with the high-spec laptop I had to buy to run it, so I want to make sure I can use it well. I'd really appreciate any sessions that you may know of or how I can continue my training when the sessions end with my trainer. As always, thank you for such a brilliant show. You make a huge difference to the lives of blind and partially sighted people, and I hope the show will continue because it helps me so much every week. Take good care, and hoping 2018 is a great year for all of you. Lots of love from Faith.
Wow.
Well, listen, Faith, thank you for getting in touch. You know, I've got to say, I know where you are because I think, well...
We've all been there.
We've all been
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just me. We've all been there. And, you know, it's such a difficult time because you've got so much. In some respects, right, there's two ways to look at this. And I think Faith is doing this just by the tone of her email. I think Faith is kind of throwing herself into this, a bit of a project. You know, this will, you know, take the focus away from the sight loss and, you know, give you something to focus on. And I think that's actually a really positive move for you, Faith. I think I did similar when I was learning JAWS. I thought, I have to do this because, you know, and it kind of took my mind off the problems. Although what it does do is give you a whole host of new problems. Learning how to use JAWS, which is always a joy. There are lots and lots of training materials. Now, what I'm going to do for you, we're running very short of time this hour, we always do, but what I will do is we'll get together a little package for next week. Okay, so Faith, stick with us. Next week on the show, I'm going to give you a bit of a rundown of some of the top training resources that are out there. If anyone else wants to add theirs, and I know some of you have, we haven't gotten to all those emails yet, we're going to put all that information together into a bit of a package, and I think we could all do with a bit of that knowledge. Because what I don't know about you guys, but what I've found is that there aren't what I would call simple tutorials for JAWS. It's always quite cumbersome, detailed. It's a bit too much. You know, I just want a list of commands. How do I do this? And it's something I can refer to when I need to do something. So how do I get to read the title of the screen? It's insert T, but I need to learn that. So we need to maybe put together a bit of a resource ourselves in our own inimitable style, or we just need to find a simple option out there. And you know, like Faith says, it should be for free because God knows the program costs enough.
Exactly. I mean, there are a lot of resources on the Freedom Scientific website itself. That was pointed out to us a while back. I think they do have a lot of free to download tutorials, but I don't know how good they are and how detailed and if they cover the level that you want to cover. But that's definitely somewhere to start for anyone who is getting into JAWS. Freedom Scientific do offer themselves downloadable MP3s and text files that will get you started.
Instructions in audio are boring, let's be honest. Rod Carn has been in touch. I always fall asleep.
Says a man as we're doing an audio podcast.
Audio. Yeah, an audio presentation.
No, instructions, I'm saying. Not this. I mean, I don't get me wrong. My wife has told me this is a great cure for insomnia. So maybe she's right. I don't know. Rod's been in touch. He says, hello, please can you advise me of the yoga app that was recommended on your podcast? He said, I've looked for Super Yoga, which is what it sounded like, but all I can find is Super Stretch Yoga for kids. No, actually, it was Claire that did that one, actually, and it was called Simply Yoga. So if you search for Simply Yoga, then that's one you'll find, and enjoy your yoga. You're a better man than me. That's it. We're out of time as always. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. The show is not the same without you, so please send in your emails, get in touch, and well, we've got a job for next week. We have to get some JAWS training materials found and sourced. Sean, you can do that. You're doing nothing else.
Oh no, actually you came up with the idea. I think you should do that.
I'm the ideas guy. I don't do anything. I just turn up.
Tim?
So dear listeners, what this means, it's all on me. I will have to be taking care of this, it sounds like.
Excellent. So Tim's just volunteered. There you go.
Thanks,
see,
Tim.
That's what delegation's about. See how I did that? Right, guys, that is it for us. Thank you again, as always. We'll catch you next week, same time, right here. And thanks again, Tim and Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Don't forget the podcast. Check it out online, Audioboom, iTunes, and wherever you get good podcasts, even the bad ones. Check it out.